Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 and 20 through 26. The Reverend Doug Grivenaugh is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gifts. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Loopholes. I don't want to accuse anyone in this building of that, but we went through budget time. I'm sure at least we were tempted to find a little loophole here or there. We might, on the face of it, say that loopholes are bad. But being honest with ourselves, we really enjoy loopholes. We might not like the loopholes that the other guy finds, that he uses to do something that we don't like or approve of. But every loophole, every technicality that we complain about, there are at least two or three others we wouldn't want to do without. See, without these particular escape clauses that we make up for ourselves, we end up looking rather bad. That is our human nature, our fallen human nature. We love to catch the other guy, but no one better catch us. We're hypocrites. A couple chapters away, our Lord will say, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Now, we like our loopholes. We like that comfortable lie that says you don't deserve death, condemnation, wrath, judgment. We want to be able to sit back and say, "See, I'm not so bad. Actually, if you look at it the right way, I'm pretty good." But our lesson today continues this teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, in which Christ speaks of true faithful discipleship. The command that our Lord gives this morning is just that. Commands. Plain teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're true. They're soul-jarring. They're unsettling. This is the law of God. But what Christ gives us is more than the law. "You have heard it said," he goes on to speak of murder, adultery, divorce, taking oaths, You have heard it said, but I say to you. And what he says is no joke. He takes the law to a wholly new level, a level that is unattainable, so unachievable that we are left crushed and defeated. No one could live up to that standard. No one could hope to do so. But you know what? In truth, Christ isn't actually taking these commands to a whole other level. He isn't adding to or amending any of these laws that fall neatly within the Ten Commandments. What Christ is doing is closing up the loopholes that man has wrongly introduced into the Word of God, as was done by the scribes and the Pharisees. Here, the Word of God Himself, the Word made flesh, is telling us exactly what He means and saying exactly what He means in His law. No technicalities, no loopholes, no gray areas. Sinful man always looks for that loophole to any law or rule. That's exactly what Christ is getting at here when he addresses the people. God gave his word to his people years before. Faithful preachers and teachers like Moses, Aaron, they did their jobs by telling people exactly what God meant. But as is the case with sinful man, as time passes on, the purity of God's word was slowly, methodically, steadily replaced man's own interpretation, man's own feeling, man's own man-made justification. Sinful man looks at the straight and the narrow line that God's word draws, that God's will directs us in, and he starts weaving in these loopholes, these technicalities, looking for ways not only to excuse his own sin, but for ways to get in good with God and to keep his law. Technically speaking, of course. God didn't give us the rope. We sought the rope ourselves. And that old adage, give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself, it holds true. The same old excuses ring out, and they sadly ring even in our ears today. I've never physically murdered anyone. I've never made off with someone else's spouse. Well, yes, I might have been divorced a time or two, but I followed the rules right down to the letter. It's all legal, all above board. I even have a certificate. As for oaths, well, I've never falsely sworn to anything. I've never said anything that I couldn't personally make happen. Yes, sir, I've kept the law. Kept it pretty well. That's got to count for something. We all know the answer to that last one, though. None of it counts for anything, at least not in terms of salvation. Christ isn't just talking about some specific problems. It's not like these were minor points of contention. Everybody else was just spot on in their righteousness, keeping the rest of the law. No. The examples that Christ uses are meant to break down every defense, every excuse, to call us out of our deluded self-confidence, and call us to repentance, call us to forgiveness, to call us to life. So we ask ourselves, have I ever gossiped about anyone? Have I ever just blown off going to church? What of premarital sex? Have we committed it ourselves? Do we perhaps condone such behavior? Do we turn a blind eye when we should be giving God's law to the ones we love? Maybe you'll fess up to a few transgressions. We got reason for some other times that we do these things, right? Reasons and excuses, if you will. Justification that we didn't really break the law. Maybe I was talking about my neighbor, but that wasn't really gossip. Premarital or extramarital sex, it's just part of the social landscape now. Adultery is bad, but all sex outside of marriage isn't really such a big deal. It's a problem when so-and-so misses church. But if I miss, well, that's a different story. It's not like I have to go every week. Percentage-wise, I do a good job. I'm keeping God's law to honor the Sabbath. So what if I miss once in a while? Brothers and sisters, what does God say? And notice I didn't ask you what you think God says or what you think God's word should say. Because the Holy Scriptures are not like a book in a book club where we sit around and seek out all these different interpretations. Quite frankly, this isn't a debate. What does God say? He's very clear. He is the one in charge. Notice also that Jesus Christ didn't talk about how anyone felt about these clarifications. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry. My commandments hurt your feelings. Oh, I didn't want that. I'll tell you what. This commandment will apply to everyone else except for you. I don't want you to feel like a sinner. But the fact is, you are. You, me, and every other man, woman, and child born of Adam are sinners by nature. And we deserve nothing less than hell, death, and damnation. That's what we deserve. And that's the thing about Christ's clarification, his law. It is unattainable, unachievable, at least in terms of earning or meriting our salvation in any sort of way, shape, or form. We cannot keep God's law perfect, not the way that it is intended to be kept. No one is righteous. No, not one. Save the one born of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Our Lord God made flesh, only He does that. Only Christ can do that. We fail. We always will. And that's where those deluding, those corrupting loopholes begin to trespass in our lives, fooling us into believing we're not so bad, perhaps pretty good even, if you look at it, or perhaps maybe just we sing, "Chief of sinners though I be, there are some here worse than me." It's about the very real, a very faithful keeping of the law. Why does Christ do this? Does he know how unrealistic, how unreasonable he is being? Well, yes, that's exactly the point. He isn't doing it to be mean. He is explaining the fullness of the law because he loves us. And he knows that when saving faith meets such harsh and brutal reality, it does one thing. It doesn't argue, doesn't start citing technicalities and loopholes. True saving faith turns back to God and confesses, "You are right, I am wrong. Forgive me. Not because of what I've done, but because of what your Son, my Savior, has done for me. What he has done in my place. Forgive me for Christ's sake." And that's what this lesson is about. Repentance. About right relationship. Not in the deluded, false sense of peace way that the world understands. The go-along and get-along way of finding peace. It's about the very real and faithful way that God views relationship. Relationships between Him and His people, between Him and you, between you and the people around you. When our relationships with each other are broken, damaged by sin and division, we show that our relationship to God also is broken. There are no loopholes here. For when our relationship with Christ is right, that truly humble, penitent relationship that looks not to our works, to Christ alone for forgiveness, for life and salvation, that our relationships with our fellow man will follow. We will be gracious and loving because of the grace and love that God has shown to us. And our faith will bear fruit, the pure, faithful fruit of repentance that fears, that loves, and that trusts God above all things. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.